Amen. Amen. Let's start at our normal launching point, John 3:16. That's our runway. Amen. And I'm sharing John 3, verses 16 and 17, and John 13, verses 13 and 35, out of the Passion Translation. But John 3:16 reads, "For this is how much God loved the world. He gave his one and only unique Son as a gift. So now everyone who believes in him will never perish, but experience everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to judge and condemn the world, but to be its Savior and to rescue it." And John 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus said, "So I give you now a new commandment. Love each other just as much as I have loved you. Just as much. For when you demonstrate the same love I have for you by loving one another, everyone will know that you are my true followers." Amen? Now, would you go with me, please, to Proverbs 4. Thought I heard a shofar. First seven verses in Proverbs 4, King James Version. "Hear ye, children, the instructions of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said to me, let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. And with all thy getting," that means with all thy acquiring of wisdom, all the acquiring of information, "get understanding." Get understanding. See, a father is simply saying to his son, yes, knowledge is important, but understanding the knowledge is even more important. You know, it's this cartoon that says, "Knowledge is power." No, understanding the knowledge is power. That's where the power comes from. Getting the revelation of the knowledge that you received, that's what's powerful. That's where the power comes from. It's in the revelation, not in the word. See, if it was in the word, anybody who read the word would immediately be filled with the revelation. Or let me say it this way. Would immediately go out and do everything it says. But they don't. And it's not that they have bad hearts. They have great hearts. They don't have the revelation of what they read. It hasn't come alive to them. How many have ever read the Bible and said, this doesn't make sense? And then at one point in your life, you'll read the same thing. It's like, wow! Guess what you just got? The revelation. And now you can live your life in that revelation. You don't want to live your life in the word, in a word. You want to live your life in a revelation. Mark Hank, Pastor Red, was listening to a teaching by Mark Hankins. And he came in. That's one of the reasons why we, you know, have been slack in getting back timely, because we'd start talking, we start preaching to each other. You know. But he came in, and I could see he was excited. And he said, I was watching this clip. He said, and Mark Hankins said something. He said, oh, boy, you know. And he said, this is what Mark Hankins said. Information can be stolen. Revelation cannot. Somebody can hack into your computer and take your information, but they cannot take the revelation of the information. That's why we need to get revelation. See, we go, give me a word, give me a word, give me a word. Look at all the words that you have that ain't working. Why? You don't have the revelation, so you don't know how to live it out. We're hearing it, and we know this should work. Why isn't it work? We don't have the revelation. We haven't received the revelation yet. I was talking with someone, and they said to me, I've been here, and then after 20 years, it just hit me. I'm supposed to live by faith. They got that revelation. I read, you know, because I thought I was the man. I am husband, you know. And one day, because things were happening, God said to me, I want you to read Ephesians 5. And I probably said, no, read it in the Message Bible. And I'm like, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. And I read the words, husbands, love your wives exactly like Christ loved the church. I was okay there because I wasn't reading exactly. I was reading husbands, love your wives like Christ loves the church. But that's not what it said. It said exactly. And then it said a love marked by giving, not getting. And then it said something, and lights just started bursting in my understanding. Christ's love makes the church whole. His words evoke her beauty. Everything he says and does is designed to bring out the very best in her, dressing her in white silk, dazzling with holiness. And that's how husbands ought to love their wives. And I was like, Lord, I repent. Because I wasn't doing that. But all of a sudden, quote unquote, it hit me. And I saw it. And it changed my views of things that happened. I have to ask my, okay, if you say that, is that going to make her feel whole? No. And I didn't get a, and don't say it, because I already have the revelation. Now I am responsible to act in that which has been revealed to me. And the reason, I believe one of the reasons it was revealed to me is that I wanted to be a good husband. And I already knew how it was to be a bad husband. I wanted to be a good husband. Listen to that, the same passages in Proverbs 4 in the Passion Translation. Listen to my correction, my sons, for I speak to you as your father. Let discernment enter your heart, and you will grow wise with the understanding I impart. Listen to this part. My revelation truth is a gift to you, so remain faithful to my instruction. For I too was once the delight of my father and cherished by my mother, their beloved child. Then my father taught me, saying, never forget my words. If you do everything that I teach you, you will reign in life. Make wisdom your quest. Search for the revelation of life's meaning. Don't let what I say go in one ear and out the other. Stick with wisdom and she'll stick with you, protecting you throughout your days. She will rescue all those who passionately listen to her voice. Wisdom is the most valuable commodity, so buy it. Now listen to this. Revelation knowledge is what you need. So invest in it. Invest in getting revelation knowledge. Well, how do you invest? How do you invest? You take something and you put it into something else, expecting it to increase. It said, invest ourselves in getting revelation. Not reading the book of Revelation, not there's anything wrong with that, but getting the revelation of the words that you've been reading from Genesis through Revelation. Getting the revelation is what will bring us through. Yes, we need wisdom, but we need the revelation. We need the understanding. You can steal information, but you cannot steal revelation. Look at Mark 13. Very familiar, parable of the sower. We always talk about it. Verse 19 is where I'm going to go. King James Version. It says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed. You could say this is he which received the word. Where? On the wayside. This person had no revelation. I apologize, my finger hit the wrong. had no revelation as to the word that they were receiving about the kingdom. How do I know that? Matthew 13, 19. I didn't say that? Oh, I apologize. I don't think it reads that way in Mark. Those online, I apologize also. So you can sit back down. Don't change dots. Change. Then I don't know what he's talking about. Matthew 13. See, it says he received it on the wayside. He wasn't on the main road. So he probably didn't get it all. See, you have to want revelation. You have to want it. And you'll go wherever you have to go, do whatever you have to do to get it. Dean Phillips and I, you know, we were talking about, when I know you know, but some may not. I say Deacon Phillips or my wife interchangeably because Deacon Phillips is my wife. So if anyone listening that doesn't know me, don't think I have a side person. Okay. But we were talking about that. You know, when I shared with her, and we're saying, you know, when you're off on the side and the word is going forth, maybe you'll get it, and maybe you won't. But you have to put yourself in position to get the revelation. There has to be a hunger for it. There has to be. You have to want to know, what is this really that I have? And you'll get it. You'll get it. In Matthew 16, verses 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So now think about it now. He made it clear right there, he's the Son of Man. He made it clear. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? This is what his disciples said. Some say that thou art John the Baptist. some Elias or Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Now, he just got finished saying, who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? So at the very least, you would think that all disciples would say, you're the Son of Man. But Peter, it was the only one that said anything. Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The other folks were probably, the Bible doesn't say, but I think like sight and sound. You know, sight and sound, they give you a fictional account of a non-fictional occurrence, because they talk to you how things might have been based on people being people. And when I read things in the Word, I think about how people would be acting, how people would be thinking. And when he said, well, whom do you say the Son of Man am? And you answer that question, he said, but who do you say I am? And then some get together. I don't know. Who does he think? We know he's not John. We know. Who is? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus responded. And this revelation changed the way I looked at this verse and the way I looked at the foundation of the church. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but flesh and blood had not what?
Revealed
it. Flesh and blood didn't give you this revelation. Flesh and blood didn't give it to you. My Father in heaven gave you the revelation as to who I am. He said, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'm going to tell you what that really meant in a minute, and some of you know. But Jesus said, flesh and blood doesn't give you the revelation that you need. Flesh and blood doesn't do it. So why are we going to men trying to get answers that only God can give? I mean, think about that. See, why are we dependent? Why would we be dependent on flesh and blood to give us the revelation as to who Jesus is? Flesh is not going to tell you the truth. You know why? Because if flesh told you the truth, you would crucify it, and it couldn't do what it wanted. So your flesh is not going to give you accurate information. Your flesh is going to tell you what it wants to do. Your flesh says, oh, forget about that. Let's go party some more. Because the flesh wants to feel good. And the flesh knows, if I tell them Jesus is the Christ, they're not going to give in to my dictates anymore. So we have to stop going to flesh and start going to spirit. Do you understand? Okay. I noticed something else about Peter being the only one to receive it. And again, the Bible didn't say it, but the others, they were focusing on what other people were saying about Jesus, probably trying to figure out which one was right. You know, he asked us this question. We got to give him an answer. What do we say? Apparently, Peter had to think there's got to be something more than this. Especially if he's asking us this question. There's got to be something more. There's got to be. And now I want to know what it is. And the Spirit of God told him. I'm going to read the same account. Matthew 16, but I'm going to start at verse 15, and I'm going to read it out of the Passion Translation. Remember I said I'm going to show you something different about how I viewed that scripture when I got this revelation. It said, but you, who do you say that I am? Jesus asked. Peter spoke up and said, you are the anointed one, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, "You are favored and privileged, Simon, son of Jonah, for you didn't discover this on your own, but my Father in heaven has supernaturally revealed it to you." Verse 18, "I give you the name Peter, a stone. And this truth of who I am, this truth of who I am, this revelation that my Father gave you will be the bedrock foundation on which I will build my church." That's why I say Jesus is saying, on this revelation that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, I'm building the church. Amen. Not on this physical huge rock, on this revelation. Amen. That I am the Christ, yes, the Son of the living God, I'm building my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Why? Because you have the revelation. Amen. I'm the Christ. I'm the Son of the living God. The gates of hell will never prevail against me. Period. Peter got it. Now, see, this is where it becomes like soul-searching time. Because you just think about the last 12 hours. Think about some of the things you said or did or thought. And if you really had, really, 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 as Shrek would say, have the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, would you have changed anything? If you really had it. No, I would have, and I was studying it. We are not living like we have the real true revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Because if we did, there'd be no divisions, there'd be no schisms, there'd be none of this foolish talk about social issues. We would be doing what Jesus said.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Period. We would be loving one. We wouldn't consider anybody as being unlovable. We wouldn't consider loving anybody from a distance. We would forgive everybody immediately and never remember it again. We would. If we really had the revelation, Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Son of the living God. Because if I have that revelation, then that also has to mean everything that Jesus said concerning me is also true. Yes. So yes, I'm healed. No, I'm not stressed out. None of these things, see, Paul had the revelation. None of these things move me. He knew. He knew. And I find it amazing. I find even amazing with me how we'll read the truth and we'll allow circumstances to come in and snatch away the truth. How can that happen? We didn't have the revelation of the truth that we heard. So we will believe until the heat gets turned up. And then we'll start wondering. And we'll start wondering. First, we start wondering, am I doing everything I'm supposed to do? Then we start wondering, is this word for me? Well, let's see. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. That was secondary. God so loved the world that he sent his word. He sent his word because he loved the world. I'm part of the world. Wait a minute. He sent his word because he loved me. Yes. Because he loves you. So that means everything that he said to those that he loves has to apply to you. Because you're a member, you're a part of this world. We need to understand that. We think too much about flesh and blood. Too much about circumstances. Now, mind you, the Israelites are believing to be delivered from Egypt. Deliverer came. Some of them didn't believe it. But the deliverer came in the person of Moses. He led them out. Stuck by the Red Sea. Egyptian army coming after them. They can't find any place to go. God tells Moses, lift up your staff, the sea's part, in front of everybody. They cross. The Egyptians cross, the same Egyptians whom God said, these Egyptians that you see, you won't see them anymore. And the sea, Red Sea, covers them all. You see that. God said, I'm sending you into a land. And God says now, in the land, there are going to be Jebusites and Hittites and Perizzites and things that will want you to get uptight. Okay. But he also says, I will cut them off. Yes, yes. Who said that? God. Who is he talking to? Yet, Moses sends people into the land. Go see the land that God's giving us. They come back. They see giants in that land. And they start, the Hittites are in there. God already told you that. And he said, I will cut them off. So you don't have to do anything. He just wanted you to go in and look and see what you were getting. We go looking and see what we're getting into. He didn't say do that. He said, see what I've provided for you. And they came back. And their fear of the people, their lack of revelation caused them to disregard the greatness of the land. They're like, look at this fruit. Yeah, but look at those people. And Joshua and Caleb, they had the revelation. They said, let us go up at once and take it, for surely we are able. Why? Because they knew what God said and they understood what God said and they saw themselves in the land. The people said, we like grasshoppers in our sight and so away in theirs. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. You said the people devour everything that's in the land. Yes, you were in there for 40 days. How come you weren't devoured? Okay, so you were hiding from the people. So then how do you know what they thought? You had a conversation. They said, get away from me, you grasshopper. How do you know what they thought? No, you're operating in fear because you don't have the revelation as to what God gave you. You don't have the revelation that God keeps his word. If he says he'll do it, he will do it, and nothing will ever be able to stop it. Joshua and Caleb had the revelation, but they didn't listen to them. And guess what? None of them, except Joshua and Caleb and their families, got into the land. Why? They wouldn't get the revelation that God gave them the land. They had a different type of revelation. They saw themselves as grasshoppers, not as children of the Most High God. They didn't see themselves. Imagine back, they didn't really have to see themselves overcoming those that were in the land because God didn't say to them, you will overcome them. God said, I will cut them off. Period. As long as God said, I don't care how he cuts them off. If he wants to use me, fine. If he doesn't want to use me, double fine. All that matters is I got the revelation. My father said go, and he takes care of everything else. Period. Period. I got to the point that when serious stuff attacked my body, a revelation word came up. And I held on and acted on that revelation. I had an appointment this past week, Friday, as a matter of fact, with the cardiologist. And he said to me, well, actually, I listened to everything. And I heard him talking to his assistant. He said, we're getting Reverend Carr off of this medicine. And they came in, and he said, so this is the list. Yes. He took a pen. You're not taking this anymore. Do this. We're cutting this in half. He said, now, he said, you want to know if I'll clear you for rigorous exercise. He said, why'd you say rigorous? I said, I don't know how to ease into exercise. I just go for it. He said, go for it as long as you want to. He said, if you do, when you come back here, I'm going to wean you off some more. Guess what I'm going to do? Okay. All right. It'd be foolish not to. I'll tell you another revelation that we got concerning our health. I am very mindful of my salt intake. But I wasn't as mindful of my sugar intake. And we found out that sugar is more detrimental to healthy blood pressure than salt. Two little harmless donuts. You can put a smiley face on them. You eat them, blood pressure goes up 40 points. So guess what? Don't eat them. I got a good revelation for you. You like this. We found out that if you go and get an ice cream cone, it doesn't have to be large. Yeah, I found out. It doesn't have to be a cone this high. You know, you're like, the kitty side satisfies. See, when you have the revelation, nothing becomes an issue. It doesn't. You just go. Why? Because you understand who you are. Remember, Jesus went into his hometown and he could not do no mighty works. Bible says, except he healed a few sick people. So apparently the few sick people, there was no big deal. But why couldn't he do any mighty works there? Because the people in that town didn't have the revelation as to who he is. They were too busy murmuring about who he was. Isn't it the carpenter's son? We know his parents. They're going to talk about he a man of God. Probably with someone that he a man of God, right? Okay. So they wouldn't receive him. They wouldn't receive the revelation that he's the Christ, the Son of the living God. Guess what? Just because you don't receive the revelation doesn't change the revelation. But your failure to receive the revelation will prevent the necessary change from occurring in you. Jesus was fine. When he left that town, those people were still sick and in need of a miracle because they wouldn't receive the revelation. He's a carpenter. I know some are still struggling with the revelation that Pastor Red and I are pastors. Hey, think about it. I knew him when he ran sound. I knew him when he was the youth director. I knew him when this, I knew that. Well, I knew us then too. But Pastor Sarah got a revelation. Do not ordain them as ministers. It was just as much a surprise to her as it was to us. He said, ordain them as pastors. How do you say no to that? And we're like, okay.
Especially when you're sitting
and,
in your office,
behind your business. Right. So especially when you, is the microphone behind you? Behind me.
Especially when you're sitting in your office on a Friday afternoon, 2 days before we were scheduled to ordain you. I was scheduled to ordain you as ministers. We even had the pins printed out, with the
saying minister.
Dedication on it. Mm-hmm. And when the Lord spoke to me and said, "Do not dedicate, do not ordain them as ministers, but ordain them as pastors." I said, "Okay, Lord," and I immediately got on the phone and called the two of you and asked you to come over to my office. And when you did, I knew that I had to share the revelation with you, not the intention and not what it was going to look like to everybody else. I had to share that with you and change whatever schedules we had to do anything else. And this is 10 and a half years later, and I have no regrets whatsoever. None whatsoever. Okay?
Amen. Thank you. Amen. But see, but now, Pastor Ryan, we have a responsibility. We have to go with the revelation. Amen. We have to live based on the revelation, amen, not based on our choice or our preference. I mean, that's what it is. And we find ourselves doing things and saying things that we didn't know we could do or say because we believe the word that was revealed by God to our leader, then Pastor Sarah. God gave, may I share when you came and talked? God gave her a further revelation. She came into, we were in my office, and she came in and she sat down crying. And Pastor Red and I were wondering what's going on. She said, "God told me that I have to turn the ministry over to two of you or it won't grow." And so she did. And you say, "Well, it doesn't look like it's growing." No, because no, that's okay. We needed a core group of people to grow. You need to have a core group who are rock solid. So when the others come, there'll be people here who can minister to them, because God knows the people who he's sending. Pastor Red and I can't minister to them all by ourselves. We need a core group of people. And his brother Morris came and spoke by a revelation from God when he was here. He said, "There's a core group that remained." Well, the seed is always in the core. So you folks are the seeds of those that are to come. But we have to hold true to the revelation as to what God is doing here. Amen. In all of us. Mm-hmm. All of us, not just the pastors, in all of us. I think about one of my favorite Bible accounts. And that's with, I didn't finish on with David and Goliath. I'll finish that. How much time do I have? Okay, I'm good. I think I'm good. I'm not good. I'm all right? Okay. What time is it? Okay, I'm good. Okay. But the entire Israeli army, world known for their exploits, come up against the Philistines. The Philistines didn't want to engage, and the Israelites didn't want to engage. They played a part. The Bible says they get together and they do their hooting and their war cry and they're slapping shields and all this stuff, and we're going to go, we're going to kill them, we're going to do blah, 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 blah. And then Goliath steps out. I defy you. Send someone to fight me. Aren't you the Israelite? Am I not a Philistine? So mocking them. They left. The Israeli army shrinked away. And they talked to each other. Have you seen that guy? Who can beat him? I remember once having a conversation with Pastor Clinton in the atrium. And we were talking about boxing. And he said, I want to ask you a question. I said, sure, Dad. What do you think about Mike Tyson? He said, my goodness, who's going to beat him? I looked at him. I said, the first person that's not afraid of him. And the first person that wasn't afraid of him knocked him out. Okay. Well, the Israelite army and its leader, the mighty Saul, were afraid, even though God fought for them and had a history of fighting for them. So along comes this little shepherd boy, filled with revelation knowledge. Why? Because he had used it. He's a shepherd. He's responsible for sheep. A lion came. He killed it. A bear came. He killed it. But he understood that it was because of his covenant with God that God was able to allow him to kill that lion and that bear. And to him, whether it's a lion or a bear or an uncircumcised Philistine, God's still in covenant with me. Amen. Period. And the king had the nerve to say to him, you're not able. You're a kid. This man's been killing people since he's a kid. David said, your servant killed a lion and a bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them. Period. And he went out by himself, a teenager, against this massive killing machine called Goliath. And he told Goliath, you come at me with a sword and a spear, I come at you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the Israel armies whom you have defied. So I'm taking your head off. He didn't say it, but he should have said, sucker. And he took the slingshot and let it go. Hit Goliath in the only part of his helmet, yes, that didn't protect his head. Says the stone sank in and he fell. Amen. David didn't even own a sword. So he goes to Goliath and takes his own sword and cuts his head off. He understood. He had revelation of covenant. We have to have the same type of revelation to the same degree that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and we are the church that's built on that revelation, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. Period. The end. There's absolutely nothing else to consider once you get to that place. Then you just live in it.
You're living the revelation life. The revelation life doesn't mean nothing's ever going to come your way. It means nothing's ever going to come your way that's going to stop you. You just keep going. Period. Better than the Energizer Bunny. You just keep going. Because they don't tell you this. You leave those batteries in that bunny too long, they're going to corrode. But revelation never corrodes. I got to take one more real quick. My buddies, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, I know those are their slave names, but that's how most people remember them. Another situation. Teenage boys. They're saying the teenagers, they have no sense. These are teenage boys. Their entire nation is in captivity. Not part of it, all of them. They're all under the reign and rule of Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar built the statue, you know the story. Said, now when I play my music, you bow down to it. See, the Nebuchadnezzars are still out there saying, this is the music you're going to listen to when you hear it. This is the way you better act. We're still trying to get us to act and march according to their beat. But these three young men, they had been made governors over provinces. And the people said, didn't you make those three governors? Yep. Well, guess what? They don't bow down. And the king got furious and sent for them. It's like, what's up with this? You're not going to bow down? I'm going to give you one more chance. I'm going to play my music. And if you bow down, that's cool. Everything will be good. But if you don't, I'm going to throw you into the midst of a fiery furnace. And who is this God that can deliver you out of my hands? He didn't know they had the revelation. They said, we don't even have to think about this. The God we serve will deliver us. But be this known unto you, O king, that even if he doesn't, even if we thought for a moment that he wouldn't do it, we're still not bowing down. And the king got so angry, you know the story, heated up the furnace 7 times hotter than it was designed to be heated. It was so hot, it incinerated the guards. Okay. As a guard, that would have been enough for me. Okay. I mean, I've talked to you this before. You just think about that. There's one guard on each side holding him. They get to the furnace to throw Meshach in, and they get incinerated. He goes into the furnace. They become a pile of ashes. You're the second set of guards. You're like, But that let me know how terrified the people were of this king. The entire nation of Israel, folks, even their high priests were bowing down. No revelation as to the covenant they had with God. But those three young men. And the king looked and said, wait a minute. Didn't we throw three? Well, we see four. And one looks like the Son of God. He got a revelation. He had never seen the Son of God. But he looked and said, that's got to be the Son of God. And then they stayed. See, when you have the revelation, you're not in a hurry. They stayed dancing around in the fire. And they didn't come out until the one that threw them in told them to come out. Well, God told me, the same people that told you you need this medicine are going to tell you you don't need it. Okay? But I have to do it God's way. I have to do it based on the revelation of who he is, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Just like them. And then the king made a decree. anybody that talks against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you got to be thrown in. Because no God can deliver like their God. Their God is the one true God. See, when you operate in the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, others will see that, and guess what? They'll get the same revelation. That's why it's so important. I'm going to read this last scripture, and then I'm going to unhook. Because I'm excited about this. I know, I'm always excited about this. When God gives me a revelation, yes, I get excited about this. This has to be our desire. Philippians 3, verses 7 to 11. Passion Translation. I'm going to read this, and like I said, I'm going to unhook. Paul said, yet, Philippians 3, verse 7 to 11, I'm in the Passion Translation, said, yet all of the accomplishments that I once took credit for, I've now forsaken them, and I regard it all as nothing compared to the delight of experiencing Jesus as my Lord. To truly know him. Meant letting go of everything from my past and throwing all my boastings on the garbage heap. It's all like a pile of manure to me now, so that I may be enriched in the reality of knowing Jesus Christ and embraced him as Lord in all of his greatness. My passion is to be consumed with him and not clinging to my own righteousness. Paul's saying, I want the full revelation as to who Jesus is and all that that means. Because that's what I'm going to cling to. That's what I'm building my life upon. Upon the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, we stand here or sit here as members of the church. Amen. The same church who Jesus said, hallelujah, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. Thank you, Lord, for just letting us know. Information can be stolen. Revelation cannot. Nobody can talk us out of the revelation we received that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we thank you, Lord, for giving us revelation every time we look into your word. More and 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 more is revealed to us. And as we get the revelation, we adopt our lives to the revelation and not the revelation to our lives. We thank you, Lord, for your love for us. We thank you, Lord. You are a great God. And it is indeed a privilege to be called your children and for us to be called your church. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Hallelujah.